Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And so the fact that basically our peers voted for us as best audio content, as basically best podcast, is honestly a tremendous honor. And candidly, given my performance this past year, a massive shock. Yeah, massive
an shock. Underdog story that we've never seen. Like Geno Smith winning comeback player of the year.
Reminiscent of Shakespeare in Love winning the Oscar over Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. What was the line prior to the award given out of us when going home with
well,
this?
Well, yeah, it was longer than the prop of you mentioning Riblets in the first 90 seconds of the show. Yeah,
we were like plus 900 or something to win the award.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the award-winning Fantasy Football Happy Hour, NFL Free Agency Edition. I'm Connor Rogers, alongside Matthew Berry, who's about to jump out of his skin with something to say, and Jay Croucher.
Yeah, because we won the award, we are the best podcast in all of fantasy, as determined by our friends and colleagues at the Fantasy Sports
and
Gaming Association. So sports betting, fantasy, like you name it. We are the best podcast as voted on by our peers. My question is like, do we get to call ourselves the award-winning Fantasy Football Happy Hour for the next year until they give out another award? Or do we always, because we've always won, like,
it's
even
true.
If we never win another award,
doesn't go away.
We're always the award-winning because we have won one award.
Yeah, it's like if you get nominated for an Oscar, if you don't get nominated the next year, you're still
Oscar-nominated
Christian Bale.
Right.
It's true.
Academy Award-winning. Yeah, Academy Award-nominated.
Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan, Elizabeth, Life is Beautiful, and The Thin Red Line. That's a travesty. And one that we've
it's
matched
our
with our
line. Victory. Yes, yeah, yes. It's our trajectory as well.
I just love that, there are podcasts out there going like, really? That effing show?
Yeah.
That crappy show? Like, that Shakespeare in Love type show?
Matthew Berry in Love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're Saving Private Ryan over here, and these a-holes are like, you know, joking it up like a bunch of jamokes. And, but I like that. Yes, we are officially the award winning. And so then the next question is like, do we have to even try? Now that we've gotten the award, can't we kind of Hainsworth it and just kind of like, you know, scoot on in and not even try the rest of the way?
You're not in a contract year.
I got three more years left. I got at least 3 years. You just signed a new deal.
Yeah, I'm not in a contract year.
Right,
either.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
His visa's done. Like, seriously, yeah, like, sure. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. What happens when Albert Hainsworth walks into a bar in Washington? It's not good, is it?
No. I'm sure he's still a very large man. My expectation is he probably gets treated with a lot of respect. Maybe not a lot of applause, but certainly he's given a wide berth. Speaking of a wide berth, that is a terrible transition. Connor Rogers.
Yeah, were you going to Jimmy Garoppolo? Or?
Yeah, okay. Wide berth.
Yeah, so we got a lot of headlines to get through because we are in
the middle. Well, wide berth is what all the Warriors cheerleaders come over to Jimmy Garoppolo. They gave him a wide berth. Like there was
you
just
found
a very.
It.
Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, you
there
found you go. It. Yeah. We got a lot of headlines to get through. We are in the heat.
Listen, we're award winning. It doesn't matter
what we
matter
do
now.
Anymore. NFL
We've already
agency.
Got the title.
Starting off with the move at the top. The Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a 3-year, $67.5 million contract.
Yeah.
Along with him, Josh McDaniels not done bringing former Patriots over to Vegas. Jacoby Myers to a 3-year contract worth up to $33 million. Guys, Barry, we'll start with you. Putting aside those two, and we'll talk about them, but I think the first thought is, what is the impact on Davante Adams, the biggest fantasy star here in Vegas?
I don't think there's a significant one. He's still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it is Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or at moments George Kittle, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good enough quarterback to support fantasy relevant superstars. We've seen it in San Francisco. Look, he's really accurate. I believe he was top six in completion percentage last year. He's top five over the last 2 years, right? He's pretty efficient. Again, Shanahan calls such a good game, you know, it's just short throws, get him in space, yards after the catch. But my expectation here is that that's what you'll do with Davante Adams. Now, he didn't throw deep as much Garoppolo in San Francisco because that offense didn't require him to. So who knows, maybe there's a little bit less, you know, deep balls to Davante Adams, but am I still drafting Davante Adams as one of the first wide receivers off the board? Of course I am. I don't think there's much downgrade from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo from a skill standpoint, maybe a slight one, but I don't think a significant one. And I certainly don't think as it relates to what we care about, which is Davante Adams' fantasy value.
Yeah. Couldn't hate this move more, really, for the Raiders. I just think they've kind of clipped their shoes into the peloton of mediocrity. Just what does this do for the team? Like, they're not Jimmy Garoppolo away from competing for the AFC West, where they're plus 1,400 to win a division that has Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in it, and a soon-to-be resurgent Russell Wilson. And I get it. I mean, they still have Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby on the other side. Like, they have big names, but they're just not, he's not going anywhere. They need to draft someone, and they need to, I mean, they should be really trading Davante Adams, right? Like, there's just, team's just not going
anywhere.
It
does feel like a team without kind of a direction, right? Because they basically pushed Derek. It's sort of like the tweet that we read on the last show, right? Which is like they gave up all this capital to bring in Davante Adams, right? And then they didn't pick up Josh Jacobs' fifth year option, and then they had to franchise tag him, right? And then they pushed Derek Carr out the door, but right, they bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you understood if they basically said, we're getting rid of Carr, we're going to let Jacobs walk, and we're going to go with the youth movement. We're going to re-sign Stidham for, we'll talk about this in a little minute, but it wouldn't have cost that much to bring back Stidham and just say, hey, we're going to go with the youth movement, and we're just going to try to, we're going to tear it down and try to start from scratch. But it does seem like kind of this team that's in no man's land. But for our purposes, Jay Croucher, I understand you hate the move for the Raiders, and I don't disagree with your take, but do you hate the move for Davante Adams' fantasy value? I don't. He's still going to be the focal point of this of Josh McDaniel's passing offense. He's still going to get a massive target share.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is the new kind of caricature of Kirk Cousins, of the average quarterback in the NFL who gets you where you need to go and has no real ceiling, and also a pretty high floor. And so I think for Devontae, for Darren Waller, I think that their offense will be fine. The defense will be really bad, and they'll probably go 7-10, but I think that they will have decent production on offense, and Jimmy can get the ball where it needs to go.
I might take the under on 7 wins, but but I understand your point. I mean, I think to the extent that we care about the fantasy, look, for Garoppolo, he's not fantasy relevant, right? He was last year, he was quarterback 19 on a points per game basis. Derek Carr in the same offense last year, quarterback 20 on a points per game basis. He is a low end QB2 that in the right matchup, if it's a bad bye week, if you're streaming, if you've got bad injuries, that you might plug and play. But he doesn't really run. It probably is still going to be a run-heavy offense, given that they brought back Jacobs and we saw what they did last year. So Garoppolo is fine for the fantasy-relevant players, but he's not a fantasy consideration himself. He's a low-end QB2. The interesting thing here, Connor, though, is Jacoby Myers, who I think that when you think about, obviously, there's familiarity between Myers and McDaniels from their time together in New England. The expectation here is that he's going to play the slot. I know he plays some outside, but feels like this absolutely kills whatever remnants of fantasy value Hunter Renfrow had left. Yep. He had a bad year last year, but some of that was injury. But also, like, I'm a little nervous about Darren Waller here, who already comes in the season on the wrong side of 30, having had injuries pretty badly the last couple of years. Like, as much as Darren Waller is one of my favorite players in the NFL, I love Darren Waller. But, you know, there's only so many balls to go around. It's still going to be, I think, a conservative run-first offense, you know, or at least a balanced one. And so Waller, who's had injury concerns, who's going to, you know, Myers is going to get a decent amount of targets. Obviously, Adams is going to get his. Feels like Waller's now in that second tier of tight ends. He's no longer, I mean, like, it's Kelsey, right? Kelsey and Andrews, if you want to say it there. And then you've got, like, Hockenson and some of the other, Kittle, right? But, like, then it feels like then it's another tier before you get to, like, the Darren Wallers and the Dalton Schultz of the world.
Yep.
Jay, and you have to wonder, right, like, who could be on the move here? Do we really think this offense that has a ton of skill talent now with Adams, Myers, you hinted at it with Hunter Renfrow. We've heard weird rumblings for a long time about Waller potentially going elsewhere. One of those guys also could end up somewhere else with this signing.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't expect that all of those guys are going to be on the team. It doesn't really make sense to have Hunter Renfrow as your fourth, you know, guy in the passing game. I think as well, like, a good thing is for Josh Jacobs is that Jimmy is probably going to keep games close enough where, you know, Jacobs can still be running the ball. And we saw that, you know, Jacobs was, you know, he won the rushing title. He was the best running back in football, arguably alongside Christian McCaffrey, when they weren't really playoff relevant towards the end of the season. So I think that Jacobs should still stay relevant.
Jacobs, by the way, friend of the award-winning Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast.
Correct.
We interviewed him at the Super Bowl. Jay
good friend
and I
of mine.
Did. Good friend. Good friend of Jay's. Acquaintance of mine.
Yes.
A good show to attach yourself to.
Yeah.
I'm hearing.
Well, award-winning.
Good job by Josh.
By the way, he's the award-winning Josh Jacobs. Because he won the FedEx Ground Award for winning the rushing title.
Yes. And you could argue he was the most memorable player in the Hall of Fame game. So he's
there's
a lot going on with Josh Jacobs. A
lot going on. Could Darren Waller be on the move? Sure, maybe. I mean, the problem is we have no idea what the Raiders are doing, and I don't think they do.
I wonder if this move, when you look at the structure of the contract, which is far from guaranteed across all 3 years, they could essentially get out of this deal after a year or two. Does this signal that the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback in the top 10? And that, from a dynasty perspective, is really interesting because this is a friendly offense for a rookie quarterback that won't have to play right away until Jimmy gets hurt in week six or whatever it may be. That's an interesting domino here.
It feels like they almost have to be. I mean, I think it's going to be a quarterback-heavy draft at the very top, so we'll see, like, who's available when they pick. But feels like it almost has to be that Josh McDaniels is like, listen, he's going to be a bridge. Garoppolo's a solid veteran that'll keep us, you know, reasonably competitive, but I want to bring in my guy and sort of develop somebody. The fact that they let Stidham go, along with pushing Carr out, makes me think that they have to go out and get somebody else. And, you know, listen, they've got a, you know, reasonably good draft pick this year. So, there was a year.
And speaking of the draft, a blockbuster move at the end of last week, guys, that does impact the fantasy environment for one specific player. The Bears trade the number one pick 2 months before the draft. They send it to Carolina. They get the ninth pick in the draft, a 2024 first, a 2023 second round pick that is number 61. It's not the earlier of their second round picks, and a 2025 second, and DJ Moore. DJ Moore is the noteworthy player involved in this trade. We all know Carolina moved up for a quarterback. That's going to be a long conversation for a different day. But DJ Moore, who rode the quarterback wave of misery last year, like few wide receivers, now goes to an offense that it's not pass happy with Justin Fields, but maybe a little bit more stability for him. What do you think of Moore in Chicago, and does it really change anything at all?
I think it helps him, honestly. Like, I mean, I think, look, DJ Moore has been one of the best wide receivers in the NFL since he came to the league. Since 2019, he has been, let's be kind here, I'm feeling generous, and just say that he's had inconsistent quarterback play.
At a minimum.
In his time at Carolina, I would argue that Justin Fields is the best quarterback that DJ Moore has ever played with, that he will be. And so since 2019, DJ Moore, total points, wide receiver 13 on a fantasy football basis. And I think that's about right. I think he's probably like a low-end wide receiver one with this move. Touchdowns have always been an issue with him, but he's going to be the number one option on an offense that we think is going to be a lot better. Like, they're fortifying the offensive line in Chicago, adding DJ Moore, getting Darnell Mooney back healthy, a full year of Chase Claypool, Cole Kmet is emerging. Like, again, it's not murderer's row, but it's also not the complete disaster that it was towards the end of last year when they're rolling out Dante Pettis and Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, I mean, at least there's, like, some professional wide receivers out there. I mean, Darnell Mooney's probably not your ideal two. He's probably a better as a three, but maybe they draft somebody, maybe they bring somebody in. But the fact of the matter is DJ Moore is a legit NFL number one wide receiver. When you consider Justin Fields' legs and his ability in his second year in this offense behind a better offensive line, my expectation is Justin Fields is, you know, remains a top five fantasy quarterback. There were questions about whether, is that a little too high for him? I don't think so. I think you can make an argument for him as high as four. After Mahomes, Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you could certainly make an argument for him over Justin Herbert, you know, over Kyler, over Lamar, depending on what happens with him. Like, I think he's probably QB4
And I think he has the most upside of any quarterback that there is, just because the rushing is so insane. And I don't think any of us would be surprised if he ends the season as the number one fantasy quarterback, which he was for stretches of last season. I couldn't be higher on the Bears. I love this team now. They've got the same odds as the Vikings to win the division in the NFC North. And I think that is well-founded. And now this team, all of a sudden, the thing, Connor, with Fields is that he, in college, he was very accurate. Yep. Right? And that just hasn't really translated to the NFL yet, but there's so much context that would suggest that that's not necessarily his fault with the offensive line, with the skill position players. And now the fact that he's got those three guys, he's got a legit one in Moore, and then Mooney and Claypool are fine as supporting pieces. So we've got the great Cole Kmet. And I think that, you know, with cap space, with an O-line, all of a sudden, like, he is primed to take a huge leap.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Now we can see what they do in the draft, where those odds that you've been high on will only go up, because they still have a top 10 pick. They can get an offensive tackle at that spot. They can take Jackson Smith and Jigba if they really want to give Justin Fields an old friend. So the draft, they've restocked their draft ammo and got a pro-ready player and more, where they're ready to roll.
I thought this was an awesome, like, I get why Carolina made the move. Like, they've been kind of in the quarterback desert for so long, and they felt like they weren't going to get their guy at 9. So they had to sort of, you know.
It's the price. The price.
That's the price of doing business. So I don't mind the move for the Panthers. Felt like they overpaid a little bit, but the price is the price, right? You know, who knows what they were competing with. But I love the move for the Bears. Like, it's an unbelievable haul for Ryan Poles. Congratulations. And to your point, like honestly, the picks would have been enough. 961, a first next year, a second in 2 years, you know, down the road. Honestly, the picks, I'd have been like, that's a fair trade. That's a pretty good haul. But then you add in DJ Moore. Again, remember, Justin Fields' first year was with Matt Nagy, that was just a disastrous situation. And so now last year was his first year in a new offense. And we've seen this before. Again, Justin Fields going into his third season. What happened last year? We talked about this in the preseason. Jalen Hurts going into his third year, his second year in Sirianni's system. They gave him a better offensive line, and they gave him A.J. Brown to go along with, you know, another year of Devontae Smith. And it's why he was my ride or die. Like, Justin Fields, it might be too obvious, you know, but like, there's a chance Justin Fields is my fantasy ride or die heading into the season. Again, he might be too obvious of a name at this point now, but I just think, to your point about the accuracy issues, like, I think adding a guy like DJ Moore does a lot for a guy's accuracy issues, and fortifying the offensive line and giving the guy a couple of seconds to throw also helps your accuracy issues.
Yep. I'm staking myself to the Chicago Bears. I'm all in Bears. I think they win the division. The upgrades they've made on defense with Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, those are legit pieces. They had Nate Davis on the offensive line. They've still got cap space. They've got the draft equity. Like, this team could be absolutely loaded. And Fields, fantasy-wise and real-life-wise, has just so much upside. And I think that, they can be a double-digit win team.
You know what? And by the way, you also think about that division, to your point. So I think, you know, everyone's like, the Lions are the trendy pick. Everyone loves the Lions. It's a great story. Dan Campbell's great at the press conference. And there's a lot of nice pieces there. And they're going to get Jameson Williams back a full year of that. So that'll be fun for the Lions. But, like, it's still a defense that has some question marks. Like, and the Lions still have, you know, the Lions just weren't terrible last year. Like, they were competitive, but they weren't, like, awesome and amazing and unbeatable. And so, to your point, like, assuming the Packers lose Aaron Rodgers, as of this taping, we don't know what the status yet is of Aaron Rodgers, like the rest of the universe. And, you know, the Vikings are, you know, like, Vikings feel like a little bit of a paper tiger, you know what I mean? Like, or a paper lion, paper Viking, if you want. Like, look, that's the offseason, whatever. They're not all winners. We already won the award. I don't need to come with the A material. The fact is that, you know, they won all those one-score games. Every bounce went their way last year. Does that continue this year? I like the bet on the Bears to – what's the odds at BetMGM?
+300.
+300 to win the division. I kind of like those odds to, you know, throw a sawbuck down.
Yep.
Or a couple.
Matt Eberflus as well. He is – to me, he should be favorite for Coach of the Year. On BetMGM, he's not. It's Dan Campbell is the favorite for Coach of the Year. I just think he has a higher bar to clear. Eberflus is +1,200. And so, I mean, do you think that he is more than a 1 in 4 chance to win Coach of the Year if he wins the division? Like, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Probably more like a 1 in, I think it's like a 50% chance if he takes the Bears from the worst record
that's
in the league.
Key.
The number one pick, right.
That's always the key narrative.
Division winner.
Yeah.
And a big market.
And a big market. And a big market with a star quarterback.
That's the key.
I'm with you. I like that, Jay Croucher. Not bad.
Thank you, Matthew.
I can do this. For a living.
When you go to BetMGM.
Jay, quickly, the fallout in Carolina, which the fantasy impact, I mean, what is there to say? DJ Moore was stuck there and couldn't do a lot with their situation. We know they're drafting a rookie quarterback. What does this offense do, though, for a rookie quarterback? They have stability on the offensive line. They've done a good job of that over the years and in free agency this week. But the skill talent is kind of bare bones right now.
Yeah, I think that the fact that the O-line is solid and they have a decent running game, that means it's not going to be a total disaster.
Good coaching, too.
Yeah, good coaching. I'm pro. I'm buying Frank Reich stock as well. I think he's a great play caller. But, I mean, yeah, there's nothing there. There's no weapons. Like, maybe DJ Moore would have helped out the rookie quarterback, who now, Connor, looks like it's going to be CJ Stroud, who's minus 250 on BetMGM to be the number one pick. And also, Anthony Richardson has shorter odds than Bryce Young.
It's crazy.
So apparently, everyone's out on Bryce Young.
If you are Scott Fitterer, general manager of the Carolina Panthers, you now have the number one pick. Who are you taking?
I would take Bryce Young.
Really?
I would take Bryce Young. I think he's the best quarterback. I understand the size concerns, but they have a good offensive line, so you don't think he's going to get battered right away. I think the timing, the ability to play in rhythm, enough mobility, that would be the guy I would take. He would flourish under Reich. I think a lot of these guys would. Richardson has a long road to go, where if they take Richardson and just throw him into the fire, that's the most dangerous situation to me.
But the argument there is, we're not going to be good this year. We know we're not going to be good this year.
So we can be patient.
So, you know, we can be patient.
Yes.
And you know what? Hey, Richardson, what's better way to learn is it's like, yeah, it's going to be ugly and there's going to be some growing pains, but get out there and you're going to play all 17 games. And by the way, we'll have a high draft pick next year.
Yep.
And, the Bears will get one of them. But the Bears will get our first-round pick next year. That's the brilliant speed, Smith, by the way, is the Panthers going to be brutal next year. I'm like, the Bears not only got, like, you know, the number nine pick this year.
Top 10
They're going to get a top 10 pick next year.
Good place to be.
It's not a protected pick or anything like that. It's,
no.
You know,
which I love about NFL trades.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like
more of a dice roll.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, but anyway, I could see a scenario where they're just like, you know, both Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young are both, you know, from the South, obviously. So obviously big fan bases with, you know, Alabama. And anyway, so I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they do. You would take Bryce Young, but it seems like, feels like the
winds, but I don't think they do,
are blowing towards CJ Stroud.
Well, I mean, he's minus 250, which is pretty aggressive in the market. That means that, you know, BetMGM thinks that there's more than a 70% chance that it's CJ Stroud. But at the same time, minus 250 isn't minus 5,000. So there are lots of turns in this market. Like, no one thought, including bookmakers, no one thought Trayvon Walker was going one until pretty late in the piece last season. But yeah, seems like it's
going to draft odds are very advantageous in early March. It's April that you start to lose that advantage, because they're all based on mock drafts and rumors and not necessarily.
And mock drafts are terrible. I mean, like, and I love the people that do the mock drafts, and it's really hard. It's a really, really hard and
there's a lot of
thing
them
to do. There's a lot of them out there. But, you know, again, like I told you, like I saw one a week ago or 2 weeks ago that had the Commanders taking Anthony Richardson at 16. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, like,
That's an October mock draft.
Right, exactly. Yes. There's a chance there's a better than average chance Anthony Richardson doesn't get out of the top five.
Oh, I think it's going, at the end of the day, the draft will go quarterback, 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 and maybe quarterback.
Right.
Arizona will trade the third overall pick, maybe to the Raiders. We could have a four quarterback in a row draft.
Yeah.
I'm bracing for that.
Okay.
So when that opens up on the odds, jump on it.
I like it.
Let's continue the quarterback talk with the lesser of moves. Guys, top of this week was backup quarterback day.
Yeah.
All of them went off the market essentially right away, the first one being Mike White to Miami. I think this is maybe the most notable one. Barry, I'd ask you that because
it's your guy.
My guy, Mike Effin White. We loved him on the show until we didn't, until he got hurt.
Right.
So the Dolphins, with Tua's health status, go out and secure a backup that they think could play in a pinch if he needs to, and honestly, most likely will at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he had four starts last year. He averaged almost 300 yards. You know, look, can run an offense. And I think that's the key, is that my guess is that McDaniel said, like, okay, especially because, by the way, what they've done is they've spent on defense, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Like, they really just need if Tua's not healthy, they just need a game manager, honestly, because their defense is going to be so good, and they have so many skilled players in guys like Waddle and Hill that, like, just all I need is a guy that can get a ball to somebody in rhythm.
Yep. Same
just
offense, too.
Same offense,
yeah,
right,
Florida,
exactly.
Florida, McDaniel, all under Kyle Shanahan.
Right. It's all kind of that Shanahan West Coast stuff. And so this makes a lot of sense for the Dolphins. I love what the Dolphins have done this offseason so far. And, by the way, this is a nice story for Mike White, just as a – like, just – somebody that sort of kicked around the league that is, by all accounts, a great dude, great locker room dude. I interviewed him once, and I loved the guy. Like, I thought he was really charming and personable and, you know, didn't take himself too seriously. Coming out of, I believe, Western Kentucky, right?
Yeah, yeah, and he's a Florida man by heart.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so. Florida man signs with Dolphins.
Florida man signs with Dolphins. Yeah. So, anyway, happy for Mike White, and it feels like a smart move to get a not expensive, but, you know, solid backup for Tua.
Yeah, and I think outside of probably San Francisco, the Miami offense is probably the easiest to run right, just in terms of just getting the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And I think that White, just being able to do that at a higher level than, I know Teddy was on the team, but he was constantly hurt as well, to do it at a higher level than Skylar Thompson. He's someone who's going to be able to, you know, get the plays on time, which they weren't able to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, and by the way, Skylar Thompson, I mean, like, think about that playoff game against Buffalo. They were like one call going their way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know,
one play,
like,
away from winning that game.
From winning that game, and, like, you know, some of the stuff with the getting the plays in, and it was just some weird stuff there. But, like, Skylar Thompson went into Buffalo and gave them a chance because he'd had a week where they coached him up. And so, right, somebody like Mike White, who's been in that system, basically that system for, you know, a few years. Yeah, you feel good about where the Dolphins are.
I think the Dolphins as well. I think they might be a juggernaut hiding in plain sight because they bring in Fangio, they bring in Jalen Ramsey. That defense is stacked
defense
now.
Defense is good.
Defense is absolutely stacked. And then on the other side, they've got Tua, who was in the MVP conversation briefly last season, and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And, you know, when Terron Armstead is in there, they're much more solid. So, yeah, that team could easily win the AFC East and just be a juggernaut.
The fascinating storyline will be who's their starting running back, because at the moment they don't have one. Like, I mean,
they signed Mostert this morning.
So. Oh, I did not see
that.
Okay.
It probably came in when we sat
okay.
down.
Oh, God. Yep. Okay. So they bring it back, Raheem Mostert, who was a free agent. But, you know, and we'll see Jeff Wilson, I believe, also a free agent.
I believe so
that's
there's,
correct.
There's carries there.
There's
to be
carries
had.
There to be had. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, Raheem must start. We'll be good.
Jay, how about Sam Darnold going to San Francisco on a one-year deal? The Niners, we don't know when Brock Purdy.
See, this is why you have to show up to the meetings, Jay, because now you get to talk about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I give you the
good up on time. Yeah, you wouldn't be stuck with Darnold.
Listen, Sam Darnold was pretty good for Carolina, right?
A couple of
games.
Season.
Yeah. He kind of kept it going. They were in the mix for playoff spot late because of Sam Darnold. He was the best quarterback that they had last year. He was better than Baker Mayfield.
What a race.
In terms of and PJ Walker. So, I mean, it's fine. Like, he's not – if Sam Darnold's heavily involved in the San Francisco season, then they're probably in big trouble anyway. But I mean, Darnold's been in rough situations. Like, the Jets wasn't the best situation, the Panthers wasn't the greatest situation either, and now all of a sudden he's in the best situation in American sports, being in Kyle Shanahan's offense with that O-line and those weapons. So if he has to play for two or three games because Lance goes down or whatever, then I think they'll be fine.
By the way, it might be two or three games, it might be zero games, it might be 17 games.
No.
I mean, I'm going to go contrarian here because it's easy to bag on Sam Darnold. I get it, right? And the ghosts and the whole thing, right?
Ghosts
and
killed
I know,
it. Absolutely right? killed it.
Yeah, absolutely killed it. But so now he goes with no expectations. But he goes to an offense that, again, just got Jimmy Garoppolo paid, that took Brock Purdy, who some draft analysts said he was overdrafted as the, you know, the Mr. Irrelevant. Like, you know, he was a guy that came out of college and a lot of people said, like, this guy is not a pro-level player. And he went 6-0, you know, in the regular season with Brock Purdy. Sam Darnold was a guy that was a top – I think he was the number two overall pick, right, when he came out? Number three.
Right,
so
after
he was
Saquon.
After Saquon, right, sorry. Yeah, he was the third overall pick. And no one at the time was like, what are the Jets doing? That guy? Like, you know, based on the college tape, USC, like, people liked Sam Darnold coming out of college. And so there is some level of skill in there somewhere.
Sure.
We've seen him. It has been inconsistent, Jay Croucher. But we have seen moments of good quarterback play from Sam Darnold. We have. Like, there have been moments with the Jets. There have been moments with the Panthers the last 2 years. Now, there's been a lot more bad than good. But how much is that on him? I just think it's a no-risk situation. And my point is that Kyle Shanahan won with Brock freaking Purdy. So, like, My expectation is that the starting quarterback of the Niners is either going to be Trey Lance or Brock Purdy, assuming health for all of them. But it is not out of the realm of possibility that he resurrects Sam Darnold's career. And Sam Darnold, who's healthy and gets a full offseason with Kyle and still has a skill set, like, you know, Trey Lance has played, whatever, three games in his NFL career,
yep.
Right? You know, Brock Purdy maybe doesn't have all the skills that Sam Darnold. Like, are we convinced Brock Purdy's better than Sam Darnold at this point in their careers?
I mean, he probably is, but certainly it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, 7-8 games ago, San Francisco, lifetime-wise, everyone would have thought that Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, so it's a very small sample size for Purdy. And we've also still got no idea if Trey Lance is any good or not. Just absolutely
right.
No idea.
Or if he'll be able to play.
Yeah.
That's another consistent issue as well. So, I mean, listen, all Sam's mistakes are mental, and the point of Kyle's offense is to do that work for you. If
right.
you have the physical talent and do what I tell you to do, we will be fine. So it will be interesting to watch if Darnold has to play and what he could do with it.
I'm just saying that there's a non-zero chance. This is not, like, you know what? What are Sam Darnold's odds for comeback player of the year?
I'm looking MVP. I'm going further. I'll find out the comeback player of the year odds. I mean, I think DeMar Hamlin is going to win that award,
yeah.
I suspect, if he does play again. But
right.
certainly Sam Darnold, yeah, if he's the starting quarterback of the Niners. Also, if Kyle Shanahan goes 15-2 with Sam Darnold, can we just give him a coach of the year, finally? He's never won one.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I think everyone just, you know, like, sort of yawns at Sam Darnold. There is a non-zero chance that Sam Darnold is very fantasy relevant this year. Or maybe not very, but fantasy relevant this year.
Sure.
As the quarterback of the 49ers.
Yep.
How about Jarrett Stidham turning a final, basically one game is what he turned into, a two-year, $10 million contract with the Broncos. Sean Payton gets his backup quarterback. The Broncos' plan, pretty clear, invest as much as they can into blockers and a backup quarterback. I don't know what that means for Russ. I think it means to help him. But Stidham, this is a good contract for a guy that was basically an afterthought until he played at the end of last year.
It's a good contract for a guy that, right, was an afterthought. The other thing that's interesting is, again, they've got $250 million invested in their starting quarterback. You would think they would just be like, okay, who can we get for the league minimum?
Yep.
Right? But the fact that it's a two-year deal for, I believe, $10 million, as you see it there on your screen, right? 2 years, $10 million each, right? So, I don't know. Like, this is what I wrote in my Combine column, that what I heard from my sources in and around Denver is that Russell Wilson is, in essence, on a one-year trial with Sean Payton. They're going to give it a go this year. They're going to try to fix him. But if they don't,
it's
like,
over.
They can get rid of him next year with a dead money hit that is not great, you know, but then they can spread it out over 2 years and it's not franchise killing. It'll be like a $40 million dead cap hit for each of the next 2 years, which is obviously still awful, but not like, but you can survive that, you know? And so, you know, in a scenario like that, so they have Stidham under contract. So, okay, Stidham's the starter the next season, and then you're basically breaking it down and you're starting from scratch again with Sean Payton. So I think it's just, again, it's sort of, they're going to try to make Russ work this year, but it's a short leash. He's
yep.
got 1 year.
Looks like it is $10 million total across
the
2 years.
Sorry.
But, yeah, I think with Stidham, I mean, it all comes down to that game against San Francisco, which Nick Bosa basically said, yeah, we didn't really show up for that game. So there's that. But at the same time, geez, he looked good. He looked good against the team, even if they weren't trying. He's making all the throws. So, yeah, I mean, there's still, at least there's upside in Jarrett Stidham. So, you know, why not? You know, guys like, you know, not to take a shot at him, but like Chad Henne. There's no upside in Chad Henne. At least there's upside in Jarrett
right.
Stidham.
In fairness, Chad Henne's retired. So, yes, I would agree.
I'm just saying that
he just retired.
Day.
But, yes, that's right. Yeah. C.J. Beathard,
yeah,
maybe.
C.J. Beathard,
there
right.
you go.
That's better. That's where I should agree.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Paper Viking.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
He's out there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Curtis Painter, where are you at?
Jameis Winston goes back to the Saints on a one-year deal. Maybe a bit
this
of
was
a surprise.
Shocking.
I was very surprised by this.
But
not
there's
only
not more of a market for Jameis as a starter?
1 year, $4 million, up to $8 million. And we know what. Whenever you see up to in a contract tweet, folks, that means they basically have to win the Super Bowl and be
right.
an MVP.
Yeah.
So 1 year, $4 million for Jameis Winston to back up Derek Carr, Jay, which doesn't seem like a chance to play for Jameis Winston.
He's gotten less than Jarrett Stidham, which I don't really understand. Jameis, I still don't understand why they didn't play him last year with Andy Dalton was throwing pick sixes for fun on national television. Still couldn't get Jameis in. So, yeah, I don't really understand Jameis and not getting more of a chance. Like, he's shown he's shown real a solid level of quarterback play in the NFL. And I guess, I mean, Carr doesn't really get hurt, so I don't think that, you know,
it's
you're
a weird him. One. Unless there's something going on with Winston, or he just loves New Orleans, and he just like this. Yeah. They're like, listen, if you want to come back, it's we can give you four. And he's just like, ah, I want to stay here because I love New Orleans for whatever reason. I don't know. It just feels weird that in a market, right to your point, in a market where Stidham's getting $10 million for 2 years, in a market where Taylor Heineke's getting $20 million for 2 years.
Yeah.
We'll talk about him in a second. Like, that Winston couldn't do better than a $4 million 1 year deal to back up Derek Carr to get to a situation where there's no chance of starting, as opposed to going to a situation like Carolina, like Atlanta. Like, there's other situations out there where, you know, that he would have had to compete, but there was a chance.
I would have thought that he has higher standing in the league than Mike White, for instance, right?
Yeah.
But apparently not.
I don't know what's – it's a weird one. That's a weird one.
You have to wonder if – is the injury history worse than we know? What is it? Like you said, some guys just are comfortable. They like being a backup in an organization and a place they enjoy. Not everybody's the same, right? So, and that brings us to Taylor Heineke, who a guy that we know loves to play. And he got a good deal from the Falcons in a place that he can play. They're saying Desmond Ridder's the starter, but obviously that's not concrete. This is a job that we think Taylor Heineke has a chance to, if not win, play at some point this year. The deal is a 2-year deal worth up to $20 million, so a solid number here for Heineke. Barry, when you look at Heineke's fit in Atlanta, that they traded for Jonnu Smith, Kyle Pitts is still there, Drake London should be pretty damn good player in year two, Tyler Algier in the backfield, they were able to shore up this offensive line. I mean, this might be another spot like Washington where Heineke finds himself starting throughout the year.
It's a guy that's thrown, over the last 2 years, he's thrown 32 touchdowns. He's thrown for, you know, over 5,000 yards over the course of 2 years. Like, he's I say this with no disrespect, like, he's a professional quarterback. Like, he's played this is a guy that couldn't get a snap in the XFL.
Yeah.
He's played his way into being a guy that's worth $20 million over 2 years. Like, I don't think Desmond Ridder set the world on fire last year. And it's sort of interesting in Atlanta. Like, I don't know that I would rank Desmond Ridder over Taylor Heineke. I mean, I guess if they come out and say, like, Ridder's definitely our starter. But, like, that's really high-end money for a backup. Like, that is, like, hey, there's a chance you win this job and or have to play significant snaps next year.
Yeah.
Money.
There's just no way Taylor Heineke is better than Jameis Winston. Isn't Jameis Winston the better quarterback? I don't understand this at all.
You have to play to get paid.
Yeah.
What Heineke's done.
He does. He does play.
Heineke does not have the arm strength, but he's got that grit.
Moxie. He has moxie.
He's got moxie coming out of his, you know,
his
out of his ears.
Blues character.
And right, and he's got, you know, he's like, you know, he's got, you know, very high T levels.
Yes, he does.
You know.
He's on a test booster,
right,
for sure.
He's an easy guy to root for,
sure.
I will say. He's mobile. They want to be run first in Atlanta. You know, we'll talk about Jonnu Smith here in a second, but I don't know. Like, I don't think, like, again, for people that are doing best ball drafts right now, I don't mind, like, a very late round pick on Sam Darnold or Taylor Heineke. Like, especially if you're in a super flex league, if you're in a deep league where you're going to play multiple quarterbacks, like, both those guys, I don't mind, you know, taking a shot on, because I think there's a chance they see action this year and could be reasonably successful.
Let's stay with the Falcons here for a sec because of the Jonnu Smith trade.
The other thing is, the last piece on Heineke is, I don't know that Heineke is a fantasy-relevant quarterback, right, in any kind of standard one quarterback league or, you know, 12. He's not. But, like, I think Heineke is at worst as good as Ridder and likely better in terms of getting the ball to Drake London, to Kyle Pitts, to keeping the offense in the field so that they can grind out first down. So I think it's a good move for the Falcons to get, you know, somebody that's, you know, decent at not a ton of money given the craziness of quarterback prices. And then also, by the way, it's a great move for Taylor Heineke's career.
Yeah, I think the thing as well with Heineke is that his issue is that he throws a lot of picks. Not as many last season, but the year before he threw 15. He threw six in nine games last year. For fantasy purposes, that's okay because at least he does put up yards. He makes a lot of throws and he misses a lot of throws. It's not like he's a game manager necessarily who's throwing for 170 yards and no picks and one touchdown or something. Like, he does have some upside in just in terms of raw stats.
But again, we saw the kind of the numbers that McLaurin put up with him under center. And so I do think this is actually good news for Drake London. I definitely do think, especially if Heinicke can start, I do think it's good news for Drake London. On the Commander side of the ball, I mean, this basically, they wanted to bring him back. They wanted to bring him back at a price, but they wanted to bring him back. So they're now in the market for a veteran to compete with Sam Howell. Who knows? Maybe that veteran will be Lamar Jackson. Who knows?
Lamar Jackson to compete.
Who knows?
Why isn't Jameis Winston on the Commanders?
Yeah, exactly.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The Falcons make a trade for Jonnu Smith, who things didn't work out for him in New England the way everybody expected after a big free agency deal. Putting Jonnu Smith aside, Barry, this is the question I have at the top. Is this good, bad, or a non-factor for Kyle Pitts?
It remains to be seen, candidly. I mean, like, obviously, there's Arthur Smith went on and wanted him. Jonnu Smith's two best seasons were with Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans. And look, when you're in two tight end sets, obviously, if Jonnu Smith is going to do a lot of the blocking, that can free up Kyle Pitts to become more of a receiver and more of a move tight end. So that's the hope. But I don't believe there's any logic to Kyle. You know, like, based on everything I saw out of Arthur Smith's offense last year, I want to make no strong declarations here, because who the F knows? Who the F knows what's going on in Atlanta, Jay Croucher?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be awesome for Kyle Pitts. It could also be awful for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. I think the way to logically think about this is that if Kyle Pitts, if his role is being degraded because of Jonnu Smith, then he's probably not that good anyway. Like, it's all in Kyle Pitts' hands, right? He's the one who has the upside. And if he is good, then he's going to play a lot, we think. Because surely, I mean, you have to
He had 1,000 yards as a rookie. It's not in his hands. He can't catch if they don't throw him the effing ball.
It's just, I think you have to defer a little bit to the coach, right? I think Arthur Smith did a pretty good job overall last season. I don't really understand why they weren't throwing the ball more, but at the same time, he has to be seeing in practice.
Well, I think he realizes he doesn't have a quarterback, and he's like, his best chance at winning was to, like, we're going to try to run the ball and grind out these wins because that's our only shot. So I agree with you, actually. I think overall, Arthur Smith did a good job as the Falcons head coach in keeping them competitive in games. I mean, you know, let's be clear, you know, Panthers got screwed. They won one game they shouldn't have. DJ Moore, come on, the helmet off. Like, come on, that was ridiculous. But anyway, I don't know. Who knows with Arthur Smith? I agree with you, he did a good job. But for fantasy purposes, like, Kyle Pitts is either going to be the greatest bargain in fantasy this year, like a post-hype, because there's going to be so many people that are like, never again with Kyle Pitts, or it's just like, what could have been?
It's still early enough with Pitts that you have to regress a little bit to the pedigree that he came out with and what he did show in the first year. So I think that I think the Pitts is a, I think he's a buy. I mean, on a lot of reclamation projects. I mean, on Russell Wilson. I mean, on Kyle Pitts. I think that they're...
Let me throw one more at you then. Yeah. Our last notable offensive move. The Texans signed Robert Woods to a two-year deal worth $15.25 million. Does it really matter for Robert Woods there with the Texans? If they trade Brandon Cooks, this is his offense as a wide receiver. But ultimately, we also don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
I'm out on Robert Woods. I'm,
he's not the reclamation project you were hoping for?
He's not in my stable of reclamation projects. I think, like, if,
how many
if
can
he
you
still
take
had
on?
Something there.
You're a dad, father of three.
I know, yeah. You know, Woods isn't going to be my third reclamation project. I mean, if he didn't have it in Tennessee, and I get that he's going to be a year more removed from the knee, which helps, but at the same time, like, there was no one else in that passing game. And they were in a lot of situations where they had to throw. So I just don't see it for Robert Woods, unfortunately. Matthew?
I would agree with that. love me some Bobby Trees, but it's been a while. Like, he looked like, you know, an over 30 wide receiver coming off of a major injury last year. And I don't know that the situation, they'll have a young quarterback and they'll have to be throwing, but I don't know that it's going to be any better. They say they want to trade Brandon Cooks. We'll see if they actually do. But, you know, they have Nico Collins, and I don't know, like, feels like, you know, and you know, Damian Pierce, I just feels like if I'm the Texans, I'm going with a youth movement. And the Robert Woods one made no sense to me other than just like, hey, he's good veteran presence. He'll be in the good locker room guy, you know, better locker room guy than fantasy asset.
Yep. Who are the Texans taking to if it's CJ Stroud going
Bryce.
On?
Bryce? Run, I think they'd Bryce. Run in the okay. card. Yeah. Yep. And I also wonder if the Panthers, if they know that, are they enticed by a pick flip where they can just get something? Because they're like, you're not taking our guy. We'll flip picks with you, get something back that we can use to put around our guy. It's a little weird if Carolina does that. But they had to get up to number one to control the draft. But we could see a pick flip at 1 and 2.
That'd be
I
hilarious.
Be shocked,
if
which
the Texans
has a huge impact on the betting market.
Yeah.
Because then Bryce goes number one.
Yep.
So that's why those odds are going to be all over the place for the next 6 weeks.
When the odds get released, Bryce Young to go two is a solid bet.
Yeah, I think it'll be heavily favored that way.
All right. Interesting.
Guys, a couple of big money defensive moves.
Poor Will Levis.
Yeah. Your man, Will Levis.
Yes,
my guy, Will Levis. By the way, Madison, Connecticut's own Will Levis, by the way. There you go. Right.
Mayonnaise and coffee.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Draft stock down, mayo and coffee. Notable defensive moves. I'll read through them. I want you guys to pick out your favorite one here. Jalen Ramsey, we hinted at what the Dolphins have done. He's traded to Miami. He seemed elated by that move. Daron Payne, your boy Matthew Berry, re-signs with Washington. They have a talented, expensive front four.
Yeah.
Javon Hargrave gets a massive deal with 49ers, speaking of a talented front four. Tremaine Edmonds, the young linebacker from the Bills, gets a monster deal from Chicago. After they trade Roquan Smith, they get Tremaine Edmonds in there. Jesse Bates, who's been dying to get to the free agent market, finally does, signs with the Falcons. And the last one, late last evening, but a huge one, Dalvin Tomlinson gets paid to shore up the interior of the Cleveland Browns defensive line. Barry, which one of these, and I guess if you want to pick Payne, you can. Those sticks out to you.
No, I mean, I'm happy they kept Payne here. But to me, Hargrave, like, it just seems unfair that the Niners add him. Like, you know, the Niners are going to be one of the best defenses in the NFL regardless, and then they add Hargrave to both. Like, I don't want to block that team. Like, I don't want to have to block against the Niners. Like, to me, that was just the Ramsey move is also great. Like, just I love everything that the Dolphins have done on the defensive side of the ball. But Hargrave going to the Niners just seems legit unfair.
With you, Jay. What about you?
To me, it's Ramsey. The fact that you have Ramsey, Xavier Howard will be better. He was banged up all of last year alongside, like, Wilkins and Phillips and Fangio. Like, that team is absolutely loaded on defense, and their offense can be as explosive as anyone. So right now they're 14-1 to win the AFC, the Dolphins, and they might have a top-five defense and top-five offense. Like, they got longer odds than the Chargers. They've got almost twice the odds of your New York Jets, which is too big of a gap for me. Like, they could be a juggernaut.
Yeah, one last one for me, guys. Dalvin Tomlinson going to the Browns. That interior was bad last year. Myles Garrett needs some help on the inside there. Tomlinson was the most balanced player of the defensive lineman available. He's an excellent run defender, has some juice as a pass rusher. So the Browns solve a monster need late on day one of free agency.
Yep. Okay. Looks like we're going to hit a little promo, Connor. Let's pivot to some baseball. Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. Matthew Berry, yeah, way to
sell that.
Show.
Why don't you sell this, Jay Croucher? Why don't you really sell
huge
it?
Baseball guy.
Matthew,
Jay
baseball
Croucher.
Season is right around the corner.
Is
so
it?
Pick up
you
your
sure?
RotoWorld baseball draft guide. Get all the best player profiles, rankings, and projections you need to dominate your draft. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/draft guide and use code Pennant25 to save 25% at checkout. I like Chris Sale to win the AL Cy Young at 150-1, Connor.
Yeah, that is a that is a Hail Mary of a bet that I'd like. If he can get back to form, cutting up uniforms.
He's got his velo back.
That's what
he's
I hear
fully
in
healthy.
Spring training.
Yeah.
Chris 150-1?
150-1. It's crazy. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Matthew agrees.
He's all over it. He is all over it.
All over it.
Let's get into the rumor mill, right, where we stand in free agency. These are moves that have not happened, not actual news, just rumors. That's the ultimate disclaimer. But what a massive one for another friend of the program, per Adam Schefter. Austin Eckler has requested permission to seek a trade. He has a cap hit of $6.5 million next season. Dream landing spots for fantasy for Eckler because he's been incredible for the Chargers.
So, right, just to be clear, Austin Eckler, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Not that Adam Schefter is not, but we've never had him on the show.
No. Very clear. It's Austin Eckler that's the friend.
Yes,
not
Austin Eckler.
Not Correct. Adam Schefter.
I want to be very clear about that.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. We'll see. We'll see. But
today, everybody jumps on.
Eckler is a two-time friend of the show. Schefty is not. Dream landing spots for Austin Eckler. You ready for this?
Yeah.
How about the Chargers? He's the number one running back in fantasy. He's been unbelievable last year with the Chargers. So, yeah, how about he just stays there? How about they keep him there? He's got a rapport with Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to have a new offense coordinator, but whatever. That's the dream landing spot. Stop it. He's good. They're good. Keep him there.
Yeah. No,
find a way to make it work.
I'm just going to keep on saying until they get someone that the dream landing spot for any decent skill position player is Baltimore. I want to see Lamar Jackson with some weapons for once, assuming they bring him back. But, I mean, look, Eckler is, I think he is, because of the nature
idea.
Of his game, he is relatively, I think, situation-proof. Yeah, if he goes to the Niners, that's not great, but he's not going to go there. So I think that wherever he lands, just because of his receptions and if someone's going to trade for him, they're going to feature him. So I think that Eckler, fantasy-wise, is a very high floor, and he'll be fine wherever he goes.
Yeah, listen, I hate the idea of him in Baltimore, by the way, just as long as we're, spitballing here. Because they use multiple running backs there. Like, the fact of the matter is like, you want him in an offense that is high scoring,
that is
high scoring, that dumps off to the running back and uses the running back as part of their passing game quite a bit. You know, hopefully like a smart play caller. Like I'll tell you, here's a place where he would go that would be awesome that isn't the Chargers. Send him to Denver. Let Sean Payton have him. That's interesting. Yeah, because if Javonte Williams is as hurt as some people seem to think he is, I've been told wide range of outcomes for Javonte Williams. He could start the season. He could miss the entire year. Like, just a lot is unknown about the health of Javonte Williams. But as long as you just talk about that's pretty interesting.
Russell's never really had a pass catching back, right? It's always been Marshawn Lynch or Rashad Penny at the end. That would be interesting.
Yeah, he's had like
Robert
whatever
Turbin.
Travis Homer. Yeah, Christian Michael. He's had the DJ Dallas Travis Homers of the world. But my point is I'm just saying like Sean Payton would use him like Kamara, he used Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
That's the idea. There is, the dream landing spot is the Chargers.
Yep.
Like whatever, we're on. Bleep that, please. But it's on. Stop this. Figure it out.
Find middle ground.
Stupid bolts.
Bad bolts.
Bad bolts. Bad.
Yeah, I was waiting
bad
for it.
Bolts.
There you go. Yeah.
Go Chargers. Go to sign Austin Eckler.
All right, let's move on to.
Listen, it's the off season. We won the award. You're not getting my A material.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Aaron
Too bad.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's what it is. I'm Haynesworthing it, baby.
Yeah. On day one of free agency, Trey Wingo tweeted out, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets is done. Ian Rappaport, on the other hand, of the NFL Network, said Rodgers is not decided on where he will go. Adam Schefter, we're just doing the insider's Royal Rumble at this point. Adam Schefter saying Jets are actively working to sign free agent wide receiver Alan Lazard, which, fellas, call me crazy, but that seems like a giant clue that Aaron Rodgers might be going to the Jets.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Alan Lazard.
Maybe Randall Cobb.
There's rumors about Randall Cobb. I'm like, you know, hey, can we get some Jordy Nelson in there?
It's weird that they're signing Greg Jennings.
Out of the studio, onto the field.
Donald Driver has been seen working out at MetLife Stadium. So everyone's back, get the whole gang together. I will say this about Trey Wingo, who's a friend of mine I've known for a long time. Trey's not a traditional newsbreaker. Okay. But he legitimately has sources. Like he, you know, he hosted NFL coverage at ESPN for years and years and years and years and years. I don't think Trey puts that out there. Trey is not a guy that like there are people in the media that just will throw out anything just to try to generate headlines and generate interest in themselves. Trey is not that guy. He's actually the opposite of that guy. So I'm sort of team Wingo here on this one. Right. It feels like it makes a lot of sense. You know, we've seen the clip of, I believe it was Rodgers talking to Brandon Marshall, talking about his meeting with Woody Johnson. You know, I'm not giving you anything, you know, but kind of a sly smile. We know that Rodgers loves to play the media and loves to sort of drag things out and make it about him. But if Aaron Rodgers wants to play again this year, and given the money involved, the expectation is that he does, the Jets are legitimately an Aaron Rodgers away from being Super Bowl contenders. They are. And there aren't a lot of teams out there that have both a need at quarterback and the ability to trade for a player of Rodgers caliber and have the players on both sides of the ball where they just need somebody like him. I would actually argue, you guys will make fun of me, I would actually, the Commanders are one of those teams as well.
Oh, boy.
I would. You don't think the Commanders, like, forget all the other BS. You don't think the Commanders are a quarterback away from being Super Bowl contenders? They, in terms of their skill players on both sides of the ball, outside of quarterback?
Yeah, if conference is bad. Rodgers from 2 years ago, then, yeah, he makes most teams that level. And
that's the thing.
Commanders have enough, I think, that, yeah, they could do that if you're getting the Aaron Rodgers from 2 years ago and not last year.
That's the impact he has.
But that's, I mean, right, and that's the conversation. Well, we have to assume that from Aaron Rodgers' mindset, he believes he is that guy still, right?
Sure.
He still believes he is a bad, bad man. So, anyway, he doesn't want to go back to Green Bay. It doesn't seem like Green Bay wants him back either. I think they want to tear it down and start over, and they're sort of sick of him. And I do think that the Packers would much rather trade him to the AFC than anywhere in the NFC, which is why the Jets also make sense from a lot of different standpoints.
The betting market certainly thinks that it's going to happen. It feels like Rodgers is probably, minus 1,000 to go to the Jets at this point. That's certainly the sense I have. And the betting market now has the New York Jets. They were plus 500 when free agency, about a week ago, to win the AFCs. Now they're plus 250, baking in the assumption that it will be Rodgers. They're also the fourth favorite in the AFC, only behind the big three of Chiefs, Bills, Bengals. So, yeah, the BetMGM thinks they're more likely than teams like the Chargers, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Jags to win the AFC with Rodgers. And certainly you can understand it when you look at how good that defense was, which, as Robert Saleh said, is championship caliber. And you've got Garrett Wilson there. You've got, you know, Elijah Moore, who can certainly be salvaged in an offensive line. With AVT, with Becton coming back, that has potential. But you can't have the Rodgers from last year. He has to be back to the guy he was 2 years ago, or at least closer.
By the way, there have been some other hints, you know, like Garrett Wilson tweeting, you know, just about how happy he is.
Yes.
And, you know,
A lot of players.
A lot of tweets.
Sauce Gardner burning the Cheesehead.
Right.
He burned the Cheesehead
in
hopes of getting Aaron Rodgers to come to New York. So.
We'll see.
We'll see where this one goes.
We will see.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Another big rumor out there, and this one would have massive fantasy impact. It's believed that teams have talked to the Vikings about a Dalvin Cook trade. $2 million guaranteed for injury this season up for Dalvin Cook. This is from Jeremy Fowler, who said, the Vikings want to re-sign Alexander Mattison as he is poised for a starter's role somewhere. Jay, let's start with this. I mean, what are some spots for Dalvin Cook that you think he can maintain being that first-round caliber running back in fantasy?
I mean, I think whoever is going to sign him is going to feature him to the level where he should be able to produce. And I'm with the Vikings, like, they've got Madison there. There's no real point paying two of those guys necessarily. Maybe feel better about Madison because of Dalvin Cook's injury history. But, yeah, is there a team, Matthew, that leaps out to you for Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, maybe the Chargers.
The Chargers to replace Eckler.
Yeah, the Broncos. Broncos would be good as well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it's all just like, hey, there you go. Well, you can go to the Ravens. How about there? Go to your Ravens.
My Baltimore Ravens.
Your Baltimore Ravens.
I just want Lamar to have some toys to play with. He's never had toys.
If he's even there.
He won't even be there. That's the thing.
Yeah. He's coming back.
What a fun offense that would be for Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook and Tyler Huntley. We'll see where
it goes. We can't have Tyler. Tyler Huntley, that movie's been... It's been too many remakes of that. They need Lamar Jackson.
But I mean, like, listen. I mean, Dalvin Cook in Miami, really freaking interesting.
What about Dalvin Cook on the New York Jets with Breece Hall? You know, who knows what he's going to look like.
I think they'll make a move for a lower tier running back as Breece works his way back.
Cincinnati Bengals, if Joe Bixon isn't back,
yeah,
certainly that would make
sense. Let's not sleep on a potential suspension for Alvin Kamara this year. The Saints' backfield could have a lot of value. I'm not saying he's Saints, I don't know, they find money under the couch every single year for players. I don't know, it's amazing how they do it. I'm going to rule that out for now.
They somehow convinced Jameis Winston to come back on a four-year, one-year, $4 million deal. Like, yeah, it's like,
Taylor,
you know,
he's making five times as much.
Yeah, it is insane. Anyway, whatever. I mean, I think there's a lot of different places that could be interesting. I mean, I was going to say the Chiefs. Does Dalvin Cook go to the Chiefs? You know what I mean?
That's not need.
Well, Jerick McKinnon's a free agent, right? I mean, like, you know, do they...
It's more that you just probably don't... Like, someone will pay Dalvin Cook because he's a big name, whereas the Chiefs, it doesn't seem like...
No, Pacheco.
It's not there, right? They have Pacheco on a rookie deal. They'll probably bring Mike McKinnon cheaply. You know, the Bills are interesting.
Always.
Like, I mean, right, you know? I mean, like, I don't know how much they believe in Singletary. They really like James Cook, but, you know...
Play the brothers in the same backfield.
Exactly.
That's kind of
James
fun.
Dalvin Cook and Dalvin James Cook in the same backfield.
Never gets old.
Cook squared.
Cook squared.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you smell what the Bills are cooking? Exactly. Right. That's the kind
of
thing you could do there.
Okay. Should we talk about David Montgomery?
Another running back nugget from Fowler was the Bears are interested in re-signing David Montgomery.
I don't think David Montgomery's bringing much either. I don't think this really moves the
needle. You know what I've learned from Steph Curry?
What's that?
Every once in a while keep shooting.
Doesn't matter. Eventually it's going to show.
Eventually he's going to start.
He makes 45% of his threes. You don't.
I understand. But we both keep shooting.
Yeah, it's true.
We both keep shooting.
Okay.
We both keep shooting and we both bring our daughters to our post-game press conferences.
There you go. Oh, man. So the Bears interested in re-signing David Montgomery. I feel like that actually hurts the value of the Bears' backfield if that one happens.
Khalil Herbert show.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
Khalil Herbert show. Can we see that on Broadway? Once?
They want to re-sign him, but only on a right deal. So it depends on sort of what the market is for Montgomery. This is something that was also in my combine column in terms of, like, if he's willing to take a team-friendly deal, they will bring him back. But if he wants to get paid, even slightly get paid, he'll be on another team. I've heard him rumored as a, you know, that the Broncos really like Kareem Hunt, assuming, you know, Kareem Hunt is out there. But that if they can't get Kareem Hunt, David Montgomery was a nice backup for the Broncos.
All right, another quarterback note here, guys. The Bucs are expected to pursue Baker Mayfield as a potential starter. We know that they want to see what Kyle Trask has, former second-round pick. But we also know if Baker goes there, he's probably going to play.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Good wide receivers.
Very good wide receivers. It's a good spot for him. It's just whether, what Baker believes is best for his career. Because honestly, like, you know, depending on the status of Stafford, and we'll talk about him in a second, but even if Stafford comes back this year, you have to figure Stafford's not long for the league. And if you're Baker Mayfield, you better, like, hey, I'll sign, like, a team-friendly deal that's backloaded. And I'll spend a year backing up Stafford, another year with McVay, and here's a chance to, you know, just kind of resurrect my career, right? There is a connection, obviously, between McVay and Baker. It was talked about during the trade. In the pre-draft process, they'd spent some time together. The Rams, McVay didn't have a pick that where there was any chance he was going to get Baker, but they really liked each other. And obviously, you know, he looked good as a Ram under Sean McVay.
He did. It's just, where are the Rams at right now? Like, getting rid of Bobby Wagner and trading Jalen Ramsey and the offensive line, so those huge questions. Cooper Kupp, obviously, is about as good of a weapon as you can have, but it looks like they're trying to trade Allen Robinson. Good luck with that. I'm not sure it's a great spot, but at the same time, you do regress back a bit to just having McVay and Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not a great spot, but do we think the Buccaneers, where, yes, they have Evans and Godwin, but, O-lines, I mean, like, that's a team that also is going to have to tear it down and start over. And so it sort of depends on kind of what the offers are there for Baker. I think there'll be some other suitors out there for him as well. So I think it just kind of depends on, you know, what he's interested in.
Yeah, it's concerning how bad he looked in Carolina in particular, and the fact that Sam Darnold came in and looked a lot better than he did. I was really high on Baker going into last year. I thought he was a chance to win Comeback Player of the Year. I thought that, you know, he had two really good seasons in Cleveland alongside two uneven ones, and he was, you know, the number one pick in the draft for a reason, but it just seems like that guy might be gone, but there is still some hope. There's still some upside in Baker Mayfield.
Our last one here.
So we'll see, but clearly they're going to bring in somebody to compete with Kyle Trask.
Yes.
A low-cost veteran. Our last one here that will not be a low-cost veteran, probably have a bigger update on this one next week, but in the rumor mill, teams could prefer a traditional trade for Lamar Jackson rather than the offer sheet, two first-rounders automatically go back to Baltimore. I mean, are we even at the point that we think Lamar is going anywhere? Like, is there any end in sight for this? Is anybody going to offer sheet Lamar?
That was one rumor that I heard at the Combine, was that, you know, secretly that the Ravens were a little annoyed with Lamar, and they're frustrated, and that, you know, it was said to me by a source, don't rule out a trade. Because you could get just, right, you know, if somebody signs him in the deal, then it's two first-round picks. But if they offered up Lamar for a trade on, you know, by the way, on the non-exclusive franchise tag, so he's making whatever it is, $35 million this year. Yeah. I think you could do better than two first-round picks.
Yeah, an MVP quarterback that's 26 years old, that's a low return.
Right. And for the Ravens, maybe they feel like, you know what? We came pretty close to beating the Bengals with Tyler Huntley and another year in our system and, like, he doesn't miss time, and there's all this drama, and, like, we can negotiate with him. Like, the fact that Lamar just doesn't have an agent, and it's his mother, and it's just, you know, there's clearly just the communication hasn't been great between the team and the player on the business side of things. Like, I don't think it's the likeliest outcome, but I also think there's not a non-zero chance that it happens either.
Yeah, I think the problem for Baltimore in trading Lamar is that right now they are Lamar Jackson away from being a really inner circle Super Bowl contender. The defense is stacked. The defense is championship caliber. The offensive line is excellent. Obviously, they don't have receivers, but they got cap space to be able to go and get them. And if you go with Tyler Huntley, like, you're not winning the Super Bowl with Tyler Huntley. You can absolutely win the Super Bowl this year, next year with Lamar Jackson. And so, also, there's no one left for them. They can't get Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're probably not going to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, it seems like it's Lamar, or you basically just, this era is ending and you're rebuilding.
Yeah, like we said, we should
Hello, Eric DaCosta. Hey, it's me, Baker Mayfield's agent, and just want to see what you guys are thinking about. I heard somebody say you guys didn't feel like there was anyone available, but just want to let you know, Baker's out there, ready to go. Heisman Trophy winner, former number one overall pick. Just something to think about. Ugh. Eric, hello.
All right.
What up?
Okay. He's going through a tunnel.
I'll call you back. Lost it.
You said no one was available. I'm just letting you know there are people available. I mean, yes, Taylor Heineke off the table. I get it.
Mike White.
Sam Darnold off the table.
Gone.
Sam Darnold gone.
Jacoby Brissett's out.
Jacoby Brissett's still out there. How about that? How about a little Jacoby Brissett, the best quarterback of the Browns last year? How about some Jacoby Brissett?
Download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster, like Jacoby Brissett, who I forgot about, Matthew. I did forget about Jacoby Brissett. I like Jacoby Brissett a lot. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in the App Store today. All right.
Eric, hey, Baker's agent again.
Why
did I mention
like that
to you, Eric? I don't know. Okay, it's fine. You don't want a former number one overall pick. How about a guy that helped lead his team to a Super Bowl and has MVP votes on his resume? That's right, Mr. Carson Wentz.
Oh, man.
Could be yours.
Talk about forgotten people.
Carson Wentz, who has veteran experience in the MVP candidates. He's played with a lot of great players. He'd love to come to Baltimore. Hello. Another tunnel. All right. I'll get you back.
Why does he sound like a Breaking Bad character?
Yeah, he does. Very Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
all right. All right, guys, let's close this thing out with our big, bold predictions for the week. Not necessarily something that is going to happen, but something that would be absolutely crazy. Jay, let's start with you on this one because I think it's very topical right now.
Rattled by this. Can't even. Yeah, I don't even want to bring this guy up because it might bring the impression back. But I think that Lamar Jackson will sign a deal with Baltimore. And I think that's how this ultimately ends when you just look at the incentives. I think the fact that there is this non-exclusive franchise tag is very, very good for Baltimore because it basically allows them to play chicken in a respectful way. And here you go, Lamar, go try sign a deal. You're not going to get the Sean Watson money because that's insane. But he will be able to, I think, be able to get a deal that is fair and will get him back to Baltimore. So I suspect it may not happen this week, but I think that he will be back in Baltimore on a new deal.
All right.
Barry, what do you got?
I don't know if that's the boldest prediction, but
I think isn't the consensus that he's probably just going to be back on the franchise tag?
Yes.
Like that's the most likely thing. Yeah. I think that's just the mess, and I think that he will sign a new deal.
Okay, so your bold prediction is he signs a new deal.
Yep.
All right. Do you have an impression? You want me to do? I could do an impression of his agent, his mom.
No.
Yeah, we're going to skip that one.
Fair enough.
We gave it good thought.
I thought about it for a second. My bold prediction, and I've said this before, so I'm out on a limb on this already, is I think Matthew Stafford retires.
Okay.
He has denied this. His wife has a podcast. He has gone on that podcast. He says he is not retiring.
Is it award-winning?
It is not, as far as I know.
Yeah.
He has denied the retirement rumors. I just think if he gets to camp, so this is not something that's going to happen in the next week, likely. But I do think I do think he retires. That's my bold prediction, is that he does retire, that he thinks about it. And right, we're trading Ramsey, we're getting rid of Allen Robinson, the offensive line's a mess. We're going to be bad. We have no space in the cap. We're really up against it with a cap. We have no draft picks or capital as well. Like we kind of went all in for the last 2 years and it worked. We won a Super Bowl. And I just, I don't know. I'd like to enjoy my life.
Yep.
Right? As opposed to walking around with chronic back pain. Like I'm a very wealthy man. I'm a Super Bowl winner. I'm a borderline Hall of Fame player. I'm famous. I've got young children. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my life as a very rich and famous person in football, and I'll go be a broadcaster or executive or peewee football coach, whatever the hell he wants to do. That's what I think.
Yep. Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl, played well in that Super Bowl. Now Matthew Berry is trying to bully him into retirement. Just keep bringing this up.
I think the borderline Hall of Famer might be what has him holding on right now.
You think so?
Maybe he wants to cement Hall of Fame stuff.
You also probably do that
no, that's not the place to do it right now.
He probably also just really wants to play football, right?
Some guys, most guys are like that, especially quarterbacks.
But the Rams are not going to. They're not going to win the Super Bowl next year, I don't think. Yeah, I mean, they're 30 to 1. I mean, they've got better odds than the Broncos and the Packers and the Browns, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah,
but
the Browns.
Browns have got some upside. Yeah, Browns have got some real upside. I mean, they got a tough division as well. I think they're the third best team in that division, even with Stafford. I think the Seahawks will be better.
If Lamar leaves, what happens then? How tough is that division?
What's that?
If Lamar leaves.
Lamar leaves.
Talking about the Browns.
I was going to be like, wait, Lamar's in the NFC West?
Talking about the Rams being the third best team.
Right.
But I think, the Browns have huge upside. It just doesn't feel like the Rams now have a
I'm not convinced the Rams are better than the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're probably better than the Cardinals.
I don't.
We'll see when
Kyler returns.
I'm kind of banking in that Kyler's out the first month of the season.
I think so, too.
Maybe longer.
That'd be a really fast return. Yeah. My big bold prediction here, guys, it actually went bold. Say Juju Smith-Schuster goes elsewhere for the Chiefs. How about them trading for DeAndre Hopkins in that offense.
I like that.
I think he'd be happy about that. We've heard them connected to Laremy Tunsil, but they went out and signed a big money offensive tackle.
Right.
They have cap space. They've done restructures. They've gotten some money. They have room to open up more. I don't think Hopkins would ask for this big new contract if he went somewhere that made him happy. Hopkins to the Chiefs, I think that would be something fantasy relevant, Super Bowl relevant. That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be amazing.
I think
Mahomes is like, I'm just going to throw it somewhere near
yes.
you. And Hopkins like, I'll come down with it. Like, yeah.
It's kind of gone under the radar because they ended the season so poorly. But I thought one of like the most surprising things about last year was when DeAndre Hopkins came back, he looked all the way
great.
Back to
awesome.
Being DeAndre after not being that guy the year before. And I know there were schematic things to do with that, but he looked like he was just DeAndre Hopkins, Nuke Hopkins again. And so, yeah, to pair him with Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, which I would really like as well, would be really fun.
Be amazing.
And as we close out the show, some notable free agents still out there on the market as we wrap up. It's not a huge fantasy market this year.
No.
We've heard the Jets could be closing out on Alan Lazard. He is technically still out there. We brought up Juju Smith-Schuster. Dalton Schultz will be fantasy relevant.
My nipples are hard for Alan Lazard. That was a quote I heard at the Combine more than once.
Are you friends with the Jets, apparently?
Yeah.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I'm not going to say whose nipples were hard for Alan Lazard, but yes.
Someone.
There were definitely
there.
At least two pairs of hard nipples for Alan Lazard at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis.
Oh, boy. It's been a tough second half of the show, hasn't it?
Not for me.
Yeah, yep.
Not for me.
Well, that's a wrap on our free agents.
What I'm happy to see is that when we list notable free agents, that, you know, the producers didn't put my name on there. Just on the, you know, they're just basically like, you know what? We've looked at it. We've talked to
NCHR.
We're
going
to take the cap hit for the next three seasons.
No shot.
Right, exactly. We're going to.
No
like,
restructure
gonna,
on
yeah,
that one.
I'll get a restructure. That's a fair. All right, listen. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. It's closing time. Happy hour back next week for Connor and Jay. I'm Matthew. Peace out.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.